Hello, my lovely listeners, and welcome to season one of the Nicola Paul Approach. My name is Nicola Paul, and I will be your host. I'm so excited to be welcoming you to my brand new podcast show because creativity and healing runs in my blood. And what better way to encourage my creative flair than speak to you all directly and share a splash of positivity. Don't forget to hit the subscribe on your podcast player so you don't miss an episode. If you have enjoyed an episode, please do leave a review and rating, as it will really help my podcast show reach out to help other people find my channel so we can all grow in our like-minded nation. In my podcast shows, I want to delve into what it means to nurture our mind, body and soul. After all, it's my mission to support and guide anyone who is listening to find the right path to improve their mental, physical and spiritual growth. Helping me properly welcome you all on this journey will be special guest appearances from time to time in my future podcast episodes. We are all experts in the field of well-being and mindfulness, and it's going to be my privilege to open up the door to this wonderful world for you all. Welcome to season one, episode three of the Nicola Paul Approach. My name is Nicola Paul, and I am going to be your host for this captivating and inspiring episode with my guest today. And joining me for a special guest appearance is an advocate for mental health at The Mind Guru on social media platforms, Instagram and Facebook. All other contact details will be in the show notes. She's currently studying her master's in psychology at the University of South Africa. She is a teacher for children with learning barriers at Best Independent Primary School near Northwest Province in South Africa. In this episode, we are going to talk about how she has come to where she is today, and also some topics on anxiety struggles and her journey to special education. So without further ado, let's welcome the beautiful Kaylin to our show.
Oh, thank you so much, Nicola.
You're welcome, Kaylin. Thank you so much for joining us today, and for your time as well, because obviously, you know, I appreciate you're super, super, super busy, but even just taking some time out just to join us for today on this episode. And but before we actually do, you know, sort of delve in a little bit deeper into the face behind, you know, obviously Kaylin, I just want to ask you, so for us in the UK, we're now in our second national lockdown this year, and obviously because you're from South Africa, so you know, again, what's you know, how's it been going on over there, even with lockdowns in place, and also, you know, what is it, how are you dealing with all of this that we're going through? And I want to call it Rona, not COVID, because I'm just done with it. But you know, what is it, you know, how is it your way, how are you dealing with it right now?
For us at the moment, we have been in lockdown from March. So our government worked on five levels. We are on level one now. So that's basically the most normal level we're going to get during the pandemic. So this for us feels a little bit more normal than we used to. It's because we're going into summer. We get a lot of sunlight now. It's quite hot. So I would say most of our economic activities, schools, all of those things are going on quite normal. We just have to wear masks and we have to protect ourselves, sanitize. That's how we're handling at the moment. So everything is going good so far. And I hope it continues right throughout summer, that we have, you know, have a less tough time that we had a few months ago.
Yeah, and that's the thing, I think, as well, isn't it? It really does help with whatever season we're in, I suppose, weather-wise.
Yes.
That at least, you know, to be fair, in England at the minute, though, for the winter side of things, it's crisp enough and, you know, sort of the sun is fairly out, you know, most of the time. So at least we can still get out and have, you know, walk around in nature or whatever. So is that what you do as well? Sort of get yourself out?
Yes, definitely. Get out, exercise outside, get vitamin D, you know, eat healthy, drink your vitamins, wash your hands, social distance. All of those things are very important during this time.
Yeah.
I think we are so used to it by now. So I think the mental health aspect is also not suffering as much as we had to get used to everything. I think now it's just getting, you know, second nature to all of us. All of the health protocols, and it doesn't look strange when people wear masks everywhere anymore. So yeah, that's where we are right now.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, especially with it's going to be, you know, what is now called the new normal. It's just trying to get our mental minds adjusted as well to a new way of living, because obviously, you know, this is totally out of everybody's comfort zone and what we're used to, what we were used to. So yeah, I mean, thanks for sharing that with us as well, because, you know, obviously, you know, that's a big factor in our lives moving forward. So let's really get to know the face behind the mind guru, advocate, social media influencer. So, you know, what drove you to become the person you are today? So let's begin the journey from the beginning. You know, what made you get involved with mindfulness and educational work? Where did it all start, Kaylin?
You know, on the one hand, I'm very, very passionate about mental health. And on the other hand, there's teaching. I come from a family. My mother has been a teacher for 30 years already. So, you know, the apple doesn't fall from the tree. So I thought, why not combine both of them? Because teaching people to become aware of their mental state and emotions is such a great way to help others. And it's also a constant educational journey for myself, because I have to actually do all the research for Mind Guru when I'm posting. And, you know, it's just been such a tremendous growth process for me as well, starting only, you know, 3 months ago. So I've actually realized this whole interest while I was still an undergraduate student. I started getting severe panic attacks when I had to study or write tests or exams, you know. And if I had the awareness I have now, if I had the self-help tools that I have now, I probably, you know, would have handled it so much better a few years ago. You know, I thought I was just sick, and I never imagined that it would have been an anxiety attack, because I've always been a person that, you know, hasn't experienced anxiety at all. I haven't been an anxious person. In school, I've always, you know, progressed well and done things easily, studied easily, went for tests easily. And there was no problem up until I reached undergraduate level. It started setting in. And like I said, I was diagnosed with several illnesses, went for brain scans and all sorts of things where no one had any clue what was actually wrong with me. And it took us about 9 months to figure out that it actually all started with a panic attack. So that's where the interest sparked.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Goodness me. So just give us a little, so delving a little bit deeper. So basically this, then you were diagnosed with this, was you? Yeah.
Yes. After I was diagnosed with several other things as well. So I've went on antibiotics and pills, and I was lying in hospital, missed my exams, couldn't go through with my studies to the honors level or the master's degree level because I was stuck in hospital. And no one knew what was wrong with me.
Wow. So what happened next?
So after that, it was actually the weirdest journey, because I felt I was sitting in front of my books and studying for a test, And I just felt immense vertigo, nauseas, you know, stomach turning, actually all the body sensations you get when you experience a panic attack and anxiety. And we went to the emergency part of the hospital. So I didn't go straight to my GP because it literally felt like I was dying. Mm. And they immediately put me into hospital and we dealt with several doctors. So what went on afterwards was, after I was hospitalized 3 to 4 times, I can't precisely remember, I went to my GP and explained the whole process to him, or what, everything that happened in the past few months. And he said to me, "You know what, Kaylin, you have anxiety." And I said to him that, "But it's impossible, doctor, because I'm a psychology student. I know this. I know anxiety. I don't get anxiety." So from there on, he referred me to a psychologist and we started, you know, the healing process. And it turned out that that was exactly what it was. And, you know, since seeing the psychologist, I still got several panic attacks and anxiety episodes afterwards. And it just took a whole journey for me to realize how to start managing it and how to, you know, get over this. I think for me, it was the fact that we all struggle with self-worth sometimes. And I struggle to believe that my role can be this huge, you know, being a psychologist, a special needs teacher. Sometimes feel like you're not worthy of being all of these things, or you're not good enough, you know, being in this career because so many people depend on you. And that's why the panic set in the first place. So I've learned how to manage that. And well, since then, I didn't need any more, therapy sessions. I didn't need any more anti-anxiety medication. And since from there on, I just decided sharing this journey is so important because so many people struggle with exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm. If you do have an episode at all, so what is it you do?
In the beginning, I had no idea how to manage anxiety. And then the therapist I saw, the clinical psychologist, recommended mindfulness techniques that you asked me about in the first question. And it took a lot of practice. You know, you think you get these breathing techniques and grounding techniques and you can just practice them and immediately your anxiety is going to diminish. But we all know that's not the case when we start practicing them. So I had to really put in an effort. I had to schedule breathing activities and exercises throughout the day to learn how to do them properly before the panic attack sets in, mm-hmm. as well as the mindfulness techniques, you know, the grounding techniques, like, you know, 5 things you can see, 4 things you can smell, that whole thing. So it actually doesn't work in the beginning. You really need to practice it for it to be effective in managing anxiety. And then I also did some of my own research and I started on this yoga journey. And for me, combining exercise with meditation helped me the most in handling anxiety. So I'd say yoga was a game changer for me.
Sure. And yeah, so I mean, I hear you on that one with yoga. I mean, for me, I do know also, I don't know about yourself, but when I sort of step back from yoga for a little while, I feel quite a little bit unbalanced in internally, you know, as well as physically, because obviously it's good for physical practice. But yeah, I mean, is that how you feel as well, if you sort of step back from it for a little while, yoga?
Definitely. I just wanted to say, while you were busy talking, I feel so, you know, I felt that I don't have a balance within me physically and mentally if I skip a few days of yoga. So I really prioritize it. Doesn't matter at which time during the day. I usually feel that it's best just after a very busy day of going to school, coming home, writing dissertation, and then doing my yoga. So I felt that to be the most effective way, because yoga is such a holistic approach to well-being, you know, teaches you flexibility, mindfulness, calmness, breathing all in one. So it was a real game changer for me.
Absolutely. And so just also with the meditation side of it, do you sort of combine that with your yoga, or is that another separate practice?
No, definitely combine it with yoga. You know, everything is all about research and reading up on things. You think meditation is going to give you this insightfulness feeling, or in the beginning I thought that something was supposed to happen when I close my eyes and, you know, think about stuff. And that was definitely not what meditation was about at all. Now, it's letting those thoughts come to mind, recognizing them and letting them go, which is the most important part of yoga and meditation, of course. And that has helped me, you know, thinking about things, acknowledging it and letting it go is such a great way to lower your anxiety levels as well.
Yeah, totally agree with you there. So just before we sort of go on a little bit more into, you know, parts of your journey as well, obviously there will be a lot of listeners listening to this episode today who might be wondering how, you know, they might want to change a certain part of their lives and not quite sure how to. What was the biggest lesson you learned, and hopefully a takeaway, of when you transitioned into that part of your new life that was really huge to you? You know, when was that moment for you?
It really happened when I was in therapy and the therapist said to me that, you know, you are very worthy of, you know, your life and your purpose. And that made me realize, everything happens for a reason, and you're not just on your path to be on your path. It's meant to be that way. And it doesn't come easy. Sometimes we think because, you know, we have the talents to do our job or to do something, like I would say, for instance, a specific sport, we're very good at it. It doesn't come without suffering. And combining the achievements together with the suffering was what changed everything for me. You know, we all try to avoid pain and suffering, and making it part of your journey is what actually makes you grow in the end, you know, because if you see yourself as a small child growing up, you get growing pains, right? And that is the truth for growing in every sphere in life. So we experience pain all in different ways, though. It might not be physical pain when we're on our journeys, but we experience it in a lot of different ways, and anxiety was mine. So as soon as I accepted the anxiety, that was when everything changed for me and got better.
Yeah, totally. I mean, with the anxiety side, I mean, if you want to go a little bit deeper into that, you know, this is your episode. And, you know, and also as well, I do know that, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, it's quite a personal thing to me as well, with the anxiety side, because funny you should say that yours sort of started around the education, young educational side of your journey. My daughter's never going to forgive me, but she's studying at university at the minute, and you know, that is one of her things, is her anxiety as well. So she'll obviously will be listening to this episode. You know, so please, if you, you know, want to just sort of go a little bit deeper into that, we would really appreciate it if you wouldn't mind.
No, I don't mind at all. We can really go deeper with it.
Yeah, sure. So you yeah, continue if you wouldn't mind. That would be great.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, you know, I was at the point where I almost gave up my studies, everything. I decided that having an extraordinary life, it's just too much pain and suffering. And, you know, I wanted to become, I don't even know what I wanted to do. You know, your judgment gets clouded, your thoughts, everything starts taking over when you experience this attack. And all that you see is the present situation. You're not going to get through the test. You're not going to be able to, sit through an examination. You're not going to be able to read through this whole book before you write your exams. And that was what I was feeling constantly. And then, you know, it has such an impact on your self-worth, like I said earlier, that you just, the fear overruns your body and your mind. And it just gets so difficult to really go on with anything that actually drove you in the first place to be on your path. That was what it felt like for me. And I feel like sharing this journey, you know, there might be so many relatable stories out there. And it might give a lot of people hope in this situation that they might experience now. And there really is a chance for everyone to overcome the fear of not feeling worthy for being on this path or purpose that you are. And yes, that's
I mean, I can, even as you're speaking as well, and I can feel the rawness that's coming out of, you know, because it's one of those things that we have with us that we have to deal with, but it's internal, so no one can visually see it, can they? You know, yeah. What if you're struggling at certain points, and like you said with the anxiety side, because it's internal, all we see is the face and you know, the body sort of thing. And if everything looks great there, then we don't, you know, we just look at you as, oh well, she's got it all together sort of thing, which you obviously have anyway, because you're doing you're making steps forward to, you know, having everything as it should be in your life. So if there's any listeners out there that are listening to this episode, and just, you know, one piece of useful information that could possibly help our listeners to sort of strive forward with their own personal situations that they might be struggling with at the minute, is there one piece of you know, useful piece of information that you could give them?
Yeah, I can repeat what I've said in the previous question that you asked me, and that is, acceptance will definitely set your mind free. Accepting anxiety, accepting difficulties, accepting suffering and pain and thoughts and feelings of unworthiness and the stomach turning and the head spinning and all of those unpleasantness that you feel when you experience anxiety or when you are in a difficult situation. Acceptance makes things so much easier, and that has really been the game changer for me. I've just been accepting things as they come, and with acceptance, you know, it's like you accept things and it's way easier to let it go. So that would be the key advice that I can give people struggling with exactly the same things at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because the thing is as well, is we put so much pressure on ourselves, don't we, you know, on a daily, a day in the life of us. And sometimes we just got to step back and say, do you know what? It is what it is. If it can be done, it can be done. If it can't, oh well, you know, let's put it to one side and look at it maybe later on. And normally when you go back and look at it later on, you look at it in different eyes anyway, because you've had time to go away and, you know, reevaluate it. And sometimes people overanalyze things a lot, maybe, you know, because that's their way of dealing with that. So then identifying a new insight which brought you into a new normal where you are now. So could you just briefly sort of just explain a little bit about that for us?
Yes. So I got this insight a while ago while we were busy in lockdown. And we all have 24 hours. That's all we get every single day. So what you achieve depends on how you use your time. And to make an impact, you really have to follow your passion. You have to focus on activities that play on your personal strengths. So I'm also an avid journaler. I do believe in journaling. And I've written down three insights that I reflect on sometimes daily, sometimes weekly. It all depends on where I am in my life and how many times I need to read this. So I just like to read it from the journal so I can get it perfectly right. Mm-hmm. So what I wrote is, your passion tells you why you are doing what you are doing. So we all need to have a why. Your interests will decide what you should do to achieve your why. And your strengths will determine how you are going to accomplish what you set out to do. So those are my three insights that I reflect on quite a lot, because it keeps me on my path to my purpose. Having a why, having a how to do it, and what is three of the most important questions that you can ask yourself. Doesn't matter how many times you need to. It's really a game changer in the way that you see things, and it might just help some people push through in difficult times if they continue asking and reflecting on those three questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you with journals, because also as well, it gives you something to look forward to. In that roundabout way, if you plan things, you know, and just sort of, and also an affirmation, like to just to affirm with yourself that you are on that right path that you should be going on. 100% agree with journals. Honestly, I do. I think they're just the best thing for, especially for people that might just feel a little bit stuck in their mind, and then writing it down in front of you, setting yourself the purpose intended, which is what you do. Absolutely love that. It's brilliant. What a great idea. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Such a pleasure.
Do you feel that a weight has now been lifted off your shoulders talking about certain parts of your journey?
Yes, definitely. You know, it's a very vulnerable thing to tell other people all of the things you go through. Just like you said, if you look at me, people see someone that's really put together and always think, well, she just has it all figured out. But the truth is, actually, none of us have it figured out most of the time, and that's perfectly okay. So yes, definitely sharing this journey with you and your listeners has been so empowering, and I'm all about creating awareness and helping people grow, you know, so they too can become and live the life that they were intended to live. And that's why I've decided to come on here and, you know, just share everything, just pour my heart out today in the hopes of, you know, people relating to the story and, you know, growing and self fostering self-healing in other people.
Yes, totally. And so are you happy right now in your life? I mean, this is a silly question, but it's a good question. It's a good question.
Yeah. If you asked me a few months ago, I would have said, yes, I'm totally happy. But I've changed my perspective to I'm not really someone that pursues happiness. And I'm going to tell you why. I choose to pursue meaning, a meaningful life. And happiness, people must understand that it's just an emotion. And emotions change probably many times during one day. So if you look over a course of a month, how many times have you experienced different emotions? You'll see why I'm saying meaning is much more important than happiness. So by switching to the mindset to pursue meaning is really life-changing, because, you know, meaningfulness helps you to connect to goals and values, and this will in turn help you to discover happiness. If you're chasing happiness, you are going to need, you know, it's like it will become an addiction, if I can put it that way. I'm going to use a very simple example. You might go on holiday somewhere close to home, and then you experience happiness, and then you'll come back and you're going to need another holiday to feel happy again. But this time it needs to be a more expensive holiday, or it needs to be a 4-star hotel instead of a 3-star. It needs to be a 5-star instead of a 4-star. And every time you're going to have to up your game to achieve the same amount of happiness. But with meaning, it's quite different. You know, meaning works on three things. It works on you live a life connected to other people and serving something greater than yourself. You find, if you don't already have your purpose, find your purpose and then commit to that purpose and live your life every day following your purpose. And then you have to seek well-being in every situation. So if it doesn't benefit your mind, your body, your soul, then don't do it. It's not going to make you experience any happiness. So meaningfulness for me is much more important. And since I've changed to that mindset, I have been a happier person. It's quite weird how it works, but that's really, really life-changing. Rather living a life of meaning than happiness.
Mm-hmm. It would be really great, actually, because I'm blown away and interested, and I could talk and talk and talk about this topic that we're just talking about. But I would actually love to delve a little bit deeper, if you wouldn't mind coming on to my season 2 podcast show, where we can go really into, you know, the psychology and the mental health side of this. If you wouldn't mind, I would love that, and I'm sure the listeners would as well.
I would love to do that. It would be an honor.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I just want to say as well, can I just ask, this is your first time, isn't it, on a podcast?
It's the first time ever.
Oh my God.
Never done this before.
Oh my God. I'm just so honored. Thank you.
It really is. It's a big honor for me as well. And I've just been having so much fun.
Oh.
You know, and even this is the growth process for me. So it's been really valuable.
And I just want to let the listeners know as well, I mean, you actually haven't been on I found you through Instagram. You've only been on there a few months, haven't you?
2 months, yeah.
And it's just, and just to let the listeners know as well, that your actual Instagram page is voluntary, right? Yours is just, you are giving information, but could you please tell the listeners one of the reasons why you are on Instagram sharing all your content as well?
Yes, definitely. I've decided to start this Instagram page 2 months ago. So I always had a personal Instagram page, but, you know, I kept on trying something and then I ended up deleting all the photos. And I was, you know, just figuring it out and finding myself and my vibe and what I wanted to share with people, you know, because social media can be such a powerful way to create awareness about something you are passionate about. And that's why I decided to start the Mind Guru. In South Africa, you know, we don't really have accessible mental health care to a lot of the population. And, you know, just a mental health platform like this is a totally accessible and free way for people to use self-help tools. And, you know, I'm not diagnosing anyone or... you know, I'm there to create awareness. I'm there to teach you about mental health. I'm there to show you red flags on, you know, for relationships or anxiety or overthinking. I've done quite a few topics. I'm just thinking off the top of my head now, but it's a great way for people to come together and share stories with me. And, you know, I've actually met so many great people on there, and they actually said to me that I'm the reason they decided to seek out professional therapy wherever they live, because they never felt that therapy is something that can change your life. But just by reading my posts, they've seen the power of, you know, mental wellness and mental education. And that's what I'm trying to achieve. I'm trying to give people a free platform where they can get self-help tools to grow and to heal themselves.
What an amazing soul you have, honestly. You really are such an inspiration when it comes to, you don't expect anything, you know, and you're just giving so much to everybody that even whether, you know, there's no money, a lot of the time you know, obviously people have businesses online. I do it myself. And there's always so much about, oh, you know, you've got to charge this amount for if you want this sort of advice and everything else, you know. And for you, it's just you're just there sort of giving out information. Like you said as well, it's from your own experiences. So let's be honest, you're the expert in your own self, right? So, yeah. You know, whatever you're giving out, whatever information and content you're providing on, you know, Instagram and Facebook as well, aren't you? So you're on both of those platforms, yes, at the moment. You know, for anybody that just wants any sort of clarity or confirmation on maybe some feelings that they're going through or emotions, you're just there and saying, listen, here it is, try it, you know, for free.
Yeah,
it's great. Honestly, I know obviously this isn't a plug to say that you're going to be doing it for free forever, but it's just to say that there's not enough of you out there, you know. There's more people need to be doing exactly the same as well, whether it's a business or not. And I'm not saying just give everything away for free, but just advice and their own personal experiences if they could offer as you are.
Yes, that's really true. Usually when we experience a problem or we experience pain or suffering, we think we are the only person going through that experience. But if you just reach out a little, create awareness a little, then you'll see how many people are actually going through exactly the same thing. So I'm building a community where like-minded people or people going through something can connect with each other and connect with me and educate themselves on the post. Like I said in the first question, psychology and education combined is so powerful, and that's why I decided to open this platform for everyone. Mm,
totally. Right. So just before we go, and thank you so much, by the way, for really delving into, you know, obviously your personal journey, which massive appreciation to you for allowing us into your life, for which, you know, we could go on and on and on, and you know, and I'm and we will be, like I said, in other episodes. So but just before we do go, during the first lockdown, so sort of March, April ish I just want to sort of end it on a note of just clarity, really, and beautifulness. Can you just talk about your surprise drive-free visit that you gave your grandfather? Because I was this was one of the other reasons why I started following you, was it's just great. So yeah, tell us.
Yes, that is probably one of the stories we're talking about most when we get together now, because we are allowed to. But as I've said previously, South Africa really has had one of the longest and toughest lockdowns. I'm talking about when it started in March up until May, in the world. And it was impossible for us to see our families, even if they only lived a few kilometers away. You know, it's actually very sad if you think about it. But my cousin, who lives in Dubai, she decided that we should do something special, because we always gather as a family. You know, we prioritize birthdays, weddings. We always make a big fuss out of those types of occasions, because we live so scattered. That's the only times we can really get together as a family. And you know, we made this group on Facebook for all of us to connect, and we were arranging what we're going to do to make my grandfather's birthday special, as we celebrated every single year at their home. And we sort of have a little tradition, and well, the tradition was broken because of lockdown, but so we made all of the arrangements, and we held a big drive-by birthday for my grandfather. So we actually made a convoy. We all were driving in separate cars to make it look, you know, like we were so many people, obviously, because the people living in other provinces couldn't be there. And we were just blasting happy birthday out of the car and waving and singing. And my grandma and my grandfather were standing there in the driveway, and they were just waving back at us. And grandma always cries about the smallest things, so it was really sweet. We always make fun of her for this, but it was really such a special moment. And from all of the birthdays we've ever had together, especially grandfather's birthday, this was the most memorable one ever. I think this lockdown really taught us the value of human connection and togetherness. And this birthday really gave us something to talk about for a very long time, and it just brought joy and hope in a very dark time. So it was so special and amazing. It's something, like I said, we really talk about it almost every time we see each other. So it was great.
It'll be a birthday never to forget. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I think for everyone in this year, 2020, everybody's birthday is one that will be remembered as well. And I'm sure, I just want to thank you for today and your time with us as well. So, but just before we go, if you could please let the listeners know where to reach out to you. Give your contact details. Do what you need to do. It's your episode. Fire away.
All right. I'm usually operating on Facebook and Instagram. Both of them have the same name. It's @the_mindguru. And I operate on both those platforms. Hopefully in the new year, we can add a website to that, which is some of the things I'm looking forward to. So for now, that's the two places you can reach me and read all of my content. And you can also, I love if you comment there, your own perspectives and stories. I love reading about it. So anytime you can go read and comment and send me a message, I'd really appreciate it.
That's perfect. Absolutely wonderful. So for now, we're going to leave the beautiful Kaylin. But don't worry, she will be back. She'll be back for our next episode in season two. If you want to say goodbye to the listeners, Kaylin.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for listening to my story. I'm honored and humbled, and I'm so glad I got to share it with all of you. And love and light to everyone.
Oh, thank you so much. And to everyone that's listening, we really do hope that everyone that's been listening today, that hopefully you felt a little bit clearer in your mind, and the possibilities ahead, and added some value into your lives within this episode. So until next time, lots of love. I do hope you have gained some further insight in this episode today, and now have some takeaway positivity. I thank you for your time. Before we go though, can you show some love for our favourite podcast by leaving us a review on Apple Podcast? Please do share the podcast with your friends and family, or anyone you know that could benefit from these episodes. Stay tuned for next Monday morning's episode with another special guest appearance. Love and light.